The pandemic experience caused me to look at many things in my life from a different perspective, including my own house. Like everyone else, I spent a whole lot more time there than I ever had before. It was no longer just a place to eat, sleep, hang out, watch TV, you know, and do all the other things that people typically do at home. It suddenly became an office, a conference room, a gym, and in my case, a pulpit. Because I spent so much more time in the house over the past few years, I've tended to notice all sorts of things about it that I probably wouldn't have paid much attention to in the past. On the plus side, the beautiful sunlight coming through my living room and kitchen windows here in Salt Lake is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. But maybe that's because I'm a mile closer to the sun than I've ever been. On the minus side, though, I simply couldn't unsee the cracks on my walls and ceilings the earthquake caused a few years before I moved here. So I had to spend the better part of a week fixing them all once I'd noticed them. Home's always been a place that I've longed to get back to, a place in which I've sought refuge from the world outside. But in 2020, home became a sanctuary for me in ways that I couldn't have even imagined just a few years earlier. For a while, staying there might have actually kept me alive. Yet at the same time, home was also often a place I found myself wanting to escape from. There were times when I desperately wished that I could be someplace else, any place else. Maybe you felt the same way? I guess what I'm saying is that my understanding of home is a bit different now. I can't help but feel the same way about the house, God's house, that Jesus describes in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Is what Jesus says to his disciples. Have you ever been to a Christian funeral? There's a better than average chance you've heard those words. And this makes complete sense because Jesus' words are intended to bring us comfort as we deal with the harsh realities of death, with the pain of being separated from loved ones. They give us hope that there's something else, something beyond what we experience together right here and right now. They give us hope that we will be reunited with God and with one another someday. This marks the beginning of Jesus' farewell discourse, which takes up three chapters of John's Gospel. As Jesus addresses his disciples, he's talking specifically about his own impending death. The Last Supper's just happened. Jesus has washed his followers' feet. Judas has been identified as the one who will betray him, and Peter's been told that he will deny Jesus three times before sunrise. Knowing that he's about to leave this world, Jesus says to them, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer," and commands them to love one another in his absence as he has loved them. Tomorrow's Good Friday. Before the sun sets again, Jesus will have been crucified. The disciples, of course, are really upset by all of this talk about Jesus' death, which is why he begins by telling them not to let their hearts be troubled, which is kind of a strange thing for him to do, because there's not too many people whose troubled hearts have actually been made less troubled by someone telling them not to let their hearts be troubled. But who am I to question Jesus? To be fair, Jesus is dealing with a complicated situation. He needs to make his disciples understand that even though he will soon be departing, he still abides with them. It's a problem to which Christians throughout the ages can relate. How do we continue to sense Christ's presence despite his absence? How do we know that Emmanuel, God with us, is actually still with us? The answer lies inside God's house, which is not exactly the place we might think it is at first. There's been a tendency throughout the ages to read this passage and to assume right off the bat that God's house must be heaven. And this is totally understandable. When Jesus talks about a house with many dwelling places, it's kind of hard not to think of it as being an actual location, like some kind of hotel or apartment building or a mansion. to which Jesus is headed and to which we will be going someday. After all, we hear something that sounds like this every single week when we recite the very first line of the Jesus Prayer. Our Creator, who is in heaven, kind of makes you think that you might be able to address a letter to someone named Creator in a place called heaven and actually have it get there. But what if the house that Jesus describes is neither only in heaven nor in any other specific place? What if Jesus' reference to a house with many dwelling places means that God's house, our true home, is really any place in which we sense God's presence among us? If someone were to ask me where home in a secular sense is for me, I could come up with any number of viable answers. I might say New Jersey, where I was born and raised. I might say New England, where I lived longer than anywhere else. I might say Utah, which is where I live now. I might say 27th South, because that's where my house is. All of these answers are correct, but none of them excludes the range of other possible answers. My point is that home can, in fact, be a bunch of different places all at once. The one thing that all of these places have in common is they're where I've been able to live with people I love. You see, it's not where home is, but what home means that really matters. And the same can be said of our church home. Many of us are here in this sanctuary this morning, as the people of HUCC have been for decades, but many of us are at home or somewhere else, watching, participating in different sanctuaries all over the place at different times. Our house of worship isn't quite the same as it was a few years ago, but it's still God's house. And in God's house, we're united as the body of Christ in the world. Because living in God's house has never been about where we are. It's always been about who we are. It's always been about our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. Our Creator might, at least in some sense, be in heaven, but Jesus' whole point seems to be that our Creator is not just in heaven. Jesus came here to live among us in order to remind us that there's nowhere that God won't go to reach us. Jesus came here to remind us that God's love and God's presence cannot be confined to any one place and time. Jesus came here to show us what really matters to God. Jesus came here to show us what God calls us to do. So when Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." He's not standing at the threshold of an actual place called the Father's house, inviting people in as if he were checking IDs at the entrance to a club. He's extending his disciples a completely different kind of invitation. Jesus is saying, if you want to see what God is like, then watch me. If you want to see what God's house is like, what God's kingdom is like, then remember what I've done among you. And if you actually want to experience a little bit of God's kingdom right here and right now, then go and do likewise. Go worship God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Go love one another just as I have loved you. Go and do these things everywhere. Because this is where we will encounter God. This is where God's house really is. And so maybe we need to think about God's house a bit differently than we ever have before, too. May it be so. Amen.